Hello, everyone. Welcome to our interview today. I am so thrilled to have you here. This is Ava at AvaWaits.com. This is where making money feels like bliss, and we have an amazing interview about to happen for you, and it goes hand in hand with that. It is all about forgiving your money past to live in full abundance now. And in just a couple minutes, I'm going to introduce Mary Billerbeck of financiallyfitliving.com. She and I actually met, it was a couple months ago, at the farmer's market, literally at the farmer's market. And I love using this as an example that we can go and have fun and enjoy our lives and business opportunities still show up. So I'm so thrilled to have this collaborative opportunity today to do this interview, to share more with all of you. And so I want to give you a little sneak peek about what we'll be talking about in this interview. Mary is going to be sharing more about why your emotions around past money mistakes are blocking you from stepping fully into your power and your prosperity. She's also going to be talking about how to get to the core of your emotions around past money mistakes, and I'm going to share a few of my past money mistakes as well. I know that we've all made them, and it's really nice to really forgive those and to use this time and this interview that we have as an opportunity to do so. We're going to be talking about why forgiveness is essential to receiving abundance and what you can do to move forward in full abundance. And I am so thrilled. And so I see more and more people arriving now. I want to welcome you all to our interview, Forgive Your Money Past to Live in Full Abundance Now. And I know that over the course of inviting people to this interview that we have guests joining us from all over the world right now. I know that Mary was connecting with people. I've been connecting with people through my communities. And I wanted to have a chance both to introduce myself and in just a minute to introduce Mary as well, just in case some of you don't know about our work that we do. So I am so thrilled. First of all, money is something, it's a topic that is very, very dear to me, and it wasn't always so dear to me, and I'll share a little bit more. So first, you know, I'm so thrilled that you're here. As I mentioned, I work from AvaWaits.com, and I am a speaker, I'm a business mentor, many people refer to me as their money mentor, I am a marketing mentor, and also working on a book right now that is going to be a really great resource for women entrepreneurs who wish to receive more money. And I believe that making money should feel like bliss. I don't think that we need to work ourselves into the ground or struggle our way to the top or anything like that. I really think that as women entrepreneurs, making money should feel like bliss to us. And I love, through my work, I love helping innovative women build their service-based businesses so that they can richly fund their lives. And this is so important to me, mostly because this was one of the biggest struggles that I went through as an entrepreneur. And interestingly, I've been an entrepreneur since I was about 3 years old, but didn't officially get into business and the business world until I was in my early 20s. And, you know, going through that whole process and figuring out how to grow my business, my first business was actually a nutrition company, figuring out how to grow my business, how to actually make money from it was quite a struggle. And it wasn't until a few years into my business, when I was finally actually starting to make some decent money, that I realized that there were some past wounds around money, around income, around feeling worthy. There were some past wounds that were really showing up and that I knew they were part of the things that were keeping me from having a better income and from being really supported through my company. And I had to actually go and look back all the way into my childhood, which was very interesting because I had grown up in a pretty wealthy, higher-end community, but I was the poor girl in that wealthy community. And I grew up in food bank lines and without hot running water or indoor plumbing until the age of 13. Yet all around me, there were people, families that easily had sports cars. They could fly first class. these were families who would gift me things with new, like new clothes. They would take me up in privately owned planes. And I saw that there was still a lot of shame around that path. And it was really my transition from moving past that shame and having a lot of forgiveness processes, which we're going to be talking about today, using a lot of that forgiveness to see that my past, as hard as it was being on food stamps and paying for the movie theater with pennies for my penny jar, as hard as that was, there were so many things that I learned about becoming wealthy through that past. And so that's what I teach entrepreneurs today. And it did amazing things for my own company. I remember at that time when I was going through all this forgiveness process, that was really the time in my company where I had been earning maybe about $1,200 a month. And then in the course of about 30 days, I signed on over $17,000 worth of new business and went on to have keynote speeches that led to my first keynote speech actually led to about $7,000 in income. And I love teaching women how they can do this at the same time. And forgiveness is a huge key in that. And that's why I've asked Mary to come on the phone with us. And I want to go ahead and introduce her. So Mary Bilerbeck, she is a money coach, a speaker, a leader, and she works with female entrepreneurs to help them master their money mindset so that they can create a highly profitable business, charge what they're worth, and love their business as well. That is so important. We must love what we're doing. And she is at financiallyfitliving.com, and I want to get her on the phone. Mary, hi.
Hi, Ava. It's so great to be here, and thank you. Thank you so much to everyone who is joining us.
Oh, I'm so happy to have this whole connection of people and to have you. And, you know, just once again, I am so happy that I met you by the fruit stand at the farmer's market.
Ava, what I was thinking when you were recounting how we met at the farmer's market, you know, how the farmer's market is an environment of abundance.
Yes.
And how we met in an environment of abundance. I think that says something about, you know, where we are in our lives and, you know, how we're able to bring that to our businesses and sharing and helping female entrepreneurs with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I remember, you know, when I was in my nutrition company, which was the company I originally worked in, I had a photo shoot one time, and we were taking pictures of all the fruit, and there were just I was actually at a fruit stand in the middle of Paris at this photo shoot, and just like seeing this fruit stretch for miles and miles, and the photos, just endless fruit. And so I love that you related everything that we're doing today to that. So all of you on the phone right now, there is so much fruit out there. And it's all available to you. And right now, if you're in the season of, you know, we just transitioned into autumn, at least for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, there is as much fruit as you could eat right now coming off of the trees. So I'm so excited, Mary. I love this. I love that you're connected to that as well.
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, before we get more into the details, I want to plant this seed, so to speak, that there is enough for all of us. There's enough for everyone. And
plenty.
Yes, plenty.
Enough time for everyone to be here in a relaxed state, just welcoming all this information, and that you will also receive enough information today. So, Mary, wonderful. Well, I would love for you to share a little bit more about your work as well with everyone, and, you know, what it is that you do. I also would love for you to talk about what Financially Fit Living is. Are you open to starting there with us today?
Could you repeat that?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I would love for you to go ahead and share just a little bit more with our audience about what it is that you do and what Financially Fit Living is.
Oh, yes, of course, Ava.
Great.
As you mentioned, I work with, you know, female entrepreneurs, and I really help them to understand and get to the core reasons why their emotions around money are blocking their ability to move forward in abundance and prosperity in their business and in their life. And it's through both practical application as well as working on the emotional, or what I call the inner work of those negative emotions that we might have around our money and our money past. And through that work, people are able to see the connections of what they're holding on to in negativity and learn to start releasing those negative emotions, which begins the process of forgiveness, which then opens them to the path of receiving more abundance.
And you know what you made me think of immediately in this process of forgiveness? That first, some of these emotions are going to be released and might come to the surface. And I see this happen a lot with my clients and students, that there are not always like difficult circumstances that arise, but sometimes a lot of emotion that comes up through this process. And so for everyone on the phone call today, I just want you to know that you may be experiencing deeper emotions today, whether it's through our call or later today, as you're thinking about everything that we're going to be talking about. And just know that it's coming up for healing. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for that reminder, Ava. And, you know, it's one of the hidden challenges that, you know, I commonly see with women entrepreneurs, is that they're living with really extraordinary amounts of shame or guilt or resentment and fear, among other emotions, around money and around their past money mistakes. And they're just not sure or, you know, understand how to get to where they can move beyond that. And what I found is that they're not aware that these emotions and the core issues that are causing them is what's really holding them back from stepping into their full power and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to share, I'm actually going to share some examples of my own past money negativity, and I would love it, Ava, if you have some to share as well. But, you know, it's very interesting when we think about the past, our money past, and sometimes we think we just need to move on, forget about it, and just, you know, get to work on doing what we need to do. But the truth is that we do have to look back to really understand how to, you know, change what we want so that we can move forward. And so what I remember is feeling guilty about money that I lost when I started investing in retirement. I mean, I lost a lot of money. What I told myself and what I used to believe about that was that I wasn't smart enough to know how to invest money. And in that particular situation, the truth of it is that the investment was extremely complicated and hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And there was obviously no support around that for me to really learn how to invest my money. But I had a deeper emotion behind that. I also remember feeling shame when I was evicted from my apartment, even though I was making pretty good money. It just never made sense to me why I was making good money, or enough money even, but I got evicted. And so what I used to tell myself and what I used to believe about that is that I would never be good with money. And finally, a big one that really I remember thinking a lot about was feeling resentment toward rich and wealthy people. When my family was struggling, and I used to believe that making and keeping money would always be a struggle, and that rich people were not to be trusted because they didn't make their money in an ethical way.
Go ahead.
And I know that this can resonate with a lot of people, and a lot of times we have these beliefs in common, and maybe you have some to share as well, Ava, that others can resonate with.
Yeah, you know, there was a point when I was a new entrepreneur where I had to go on food stamps, and I remember being, you know, filling out the food stamp form and being in the room, and there was another person in that room who had come and seen me at a class that I had taught for my business, and I was so embarrassed that I was there. There was so much embarrassment and kind of this feeling of, I have failed. I mean, when will I ever be able to make enough money so I can eat, so I can live? I love my business, but when will I ever be able to make that money? And so from there, there was a lot of shame of that. There was a lot of worry that my community would see me as a poor girl, you know, a little poor girl again, which went right back to my past. Mm-hmm. And you know, the one time I had to borrow money for rent as a new entrepreneur, and I borrowed some money from my brother, but having to ask and having, you know, one time having to ask another sibling of mine for $50 to help me pay my cell phone bill, that was just, oh man. Right? It just, yeah. You know, it made me feel like what I was doing was not working. And I share some of the stories because we have all gone through ups and downs, especially for those of you on the phone right now who are entrepreneurs, that you've probably already experienced ups and downs, or you are still in an up or a down. And I'm so glad that I never stopped. I think that was the biggest thing that I learned from all of that. I am so glad that I didn't look at that time that I was on food stamps or that one time I had to borrow money for rent or my cell phone and tell myself at that point that I had failed my business. Because if I had stopped back then, I would never be to the point that I'm at now, which feels so good. So I want all of you to know that, you know, if you're on a path that is truly in alignment with what you should be doing, please do not stop.
Oh, yeah. That's a wonderful message, Ava, and thank you for sharing what you had experienced, because I know that it can feel very vulnerable to open ourselves up to sharing or re-experiencing the negativity around, you know, our money past or things that we feel we may have done wrong with money. So I really appreciate that. You know, and for me at the time, I didn't know that my emotions around money were sabotaging my success mm-hmm. with money. Because for years, I struggled in a financial chaos until one day when I fell to my knees with crushing chest pain after I had been on an out-of-control spending spree. And that was the day everything changed for me. And coincidentally, I felt like I had hit rock bottom. But that was my wake-up call. And, you know, what I thought was a heart attack was actually a panic attack, which is still very debilitating.
Yeah.
But it scared me so badly that I knew I needed to figure out this money stuff because obviously it was causing me not only great financial stress, but debilitating physical and emotional distress.
Wow.
So that's how I started really to where I am today, helping others, through helping myself first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the first time in my life, what I realized is that I didn't value myself. And that played out in every interaction with my money.
Yeah, and as you bring up that thing of not valuing ourselves, for everyone on the phone listening right now, I just want you to take notice if you truly do value yourself right now, or if you value the the services that you bring the world through your business, or if you value the talents that you bring forward in your professional life and just in your life in general, like, just notice if you truly do value yourself. And I just think it's a really good place to start.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I learned from my aha moment is that it was more than just about money. And so I realized I really had to get to the core of my emotions around those past money mistakes and, you know, those things that I kept believing. And that was where I could start moving toward releasing my money past. Mm-hmm. And if you remember back to what I said, that I wasn't aware of what was causing my struggle with money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because the reason was that myself and others hang on to the negative emotions around the money past, blocking from creating success they desire because of their subconscious money beliefs. And it's subconscious money beliefs that drive really everything that we do, and including our mindset, habits, and potential success with money in life. And according to the Journal of Psychoneuroendocrinology, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
The subconscious mind is a million times more powerful than the conscious mind, and that we operate from there, from the subconscious mind, 95 to 99% of our lives come from that subconscious programming.
Mm-hmm.
That's just fascinating. And so to get to the core of our emotions, we really must look at that subconscious programming. And as you may have guessed, that programming starts very early in life.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, researchers at the University of Cambridge found that money habits are formed by age 7.
By age 7.
And the longer that we live with those habits, the harder it is to reverse them, although not impossible.
Uh-huh.
So you may be asking, where do these habits and beliefs come from? You know, and they come from the messages that we hear, we see, and learn and experience from our parents, our families, and other significant people in our childhood. And because of the developmental process that we all go through when we're young, we are not able to accurately decipher what we see and learn and experience around money. So we absorb messages in a way that makes sense to us. And they then become programmed into our subconscious mind, which become the beliefs that we repeat in our own experiences with money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, so we continue these for many of us for some time, many years. And then we feel the guilt and the shame and the emotions that we've been talking about throughout our lives, because we're not aware, it's in our subconscious mind driving us to do everything. So, you know, we really have to understand those true reasons we're struggling to fix it. And, you know, instead, what we do is we beat ourselves up because we've talked ourselves into believing something like we have no control over our money or that things will never change. And just as an example, I want to share with you.
Yes, please.
A client, how I helped a client of mine. She came to me and, you know, she was just really having a lot of issues around money, around growing her business. And, you know, she obviously was not at the point where she understood how her subconscious money messages were impacting her life.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that, you know, as we started peeling back the layers, she told me that her parents frequently said, we can't afford that, or, you know, there's not enough money for that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she saw them spending a lot of money on their alcohol and cigarette addictions.
Oh, interesting.
So there was a lot of confusion for her in that messaging. But what it happened was it led her to believe that she wasn't good enough or worthy. And because of this low self-worth, she found herself really trapped in mindless spending on stuff
mm-hmm.
and an endless pursuit to prove that she was worthy. But
oh, wow.
She never felt better. And then she punished herself for spending so much money, which this continued to trigger the unhealthy spending. But as we were working together, she slowly was able to uncover her messages and motions around money and learned that she was just playing out what her parents had learned and passed on to her about money. And her parents were children during the Depression era, where they lived in fear every day for years that there would never be enough money to eat, let alone survive.
Right.
And although her parents were not unable to overcome these beliefs, and she grew up with them and recreated them in her money habits and behaviors, you know, she was able to work with me to overcome the feeling of scarcity and deprivation, because that's what it really came down to. When she realized this connection, she finally, you know, I think for the first time in her life, felt compassion toward herself and her parents. And that was able to set in motion that process of forgiveness. She understood that she was worthy and learned to spend money in ways that supported her self-love and self-care.
Mm. Oh. And, you know, as you were sharing that, it brought up the topic of spending, which I just wanted to mention for a minute. And what I had really noticed, and some of you on the call might notice that this is one pattern you had around spending, is that if you don't have that inner feeling of contentment and that inner feeling of I have enough, I have enough wealth, I am wealthy. If you don't have that inner feeling, I find that some people do go out and try to give themselves that feeling through buying things. And this is what I did. When I was not making a lot of money in my business, I would get like a big check at once. Maybe a client would pay in full, and I would go out and I would spend a huge portion of it on new clothing, on things that I felt like I had to buy right away for fear that I would not have the money to buy them later. And what ended up happening is I would almost like binge shop, and it wasn't. I did not buy too many things, I think, in the whole scheme of things. Like, I don't have a closet that's just super overflowing. But, you know, in my own way, I went out and I would overspend on these pieces of clothing. And what I noticed is that as I started to do some of this healing and forgiveness work, that what was starting to show up for me was that feeling of contentment, like that deep feeling of contentment inside me, where I knew that it wasn't the clothing that filled that void, that it wasn't the things that I owned that were going to make me feel like they didn't give me all of my feeling of wealth, that my feeling of wealth was way more internal. And it had happened after I'd done a lot of forgiveness and processing of some old stuff that happened. And what I have noticed is that now spending is very different for me now. And I will, of course, I will buy myself some good things every now and then. And I'm able to just go out and purchase clothing without worrying about how much is in my bank account. And that feels really good. But I've noticed that I don't binge spend as much now. So I just wanted to bring that up. If any of you are experiencing that where you're like, oh my gosh, I have money, I have to go buy everything at once. That is a sign that there is some money work that needs to be done, probably some forgiveness, and it would really be a great opportunity for you to do some healing work around that. So back to you.
Yeah, thank you, Ava. No, that's really great to remember, because as you mentioned, you know, doing the work and going from binge spending to actually pleasurable spending, or spending that you feel good about, is also a sign that you have done the work or you're working on it. And it is such a different experience, and it's really a loving way to treat yourself and to know that you can spend money on the things that you not only need, but want and love, and that it's okay, because it's really coming from a very healthy place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So, okay, great. So you've talked a little bit about getting to the core of your emotions around past money mistakes. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to that, like any processes or techniques that will help people kind of unearth some of those emotions so they can come up for healing?
Yeah, I would. Yes, definitely.
Great.
You know, one of the things that I want to go back to is that, you know, forgiveness creates an open path to abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, it was hitting rock bottom that helped me to get on that path. But it definitely does not have to happen that way for everyone. In fact, that's why I do what I do, to help people from getting to that point. So that they can get past those struggles more quickly. One of the things that I realized, and I'll share a couple techniques in a minute, that when I reflected on my past money mistakes and peeled back the layers like an onion of my subconscious money beliefs and how they played out in my life, I realized that my money past was not my fault, and that it no longer served me to hang on to those negative emotions around it. It was really clear to me then why I had been blocked from receiving more abundance. And it was this clarity that really softened my heart to forgiveness and opened, you know, created a very open path to receiving abundance. And so when I figured this out for me, I figured everything out in life. And what I learned was this, that how you do money is how you do life. I've been able to master, and I always continue to work on this, but master my money mindset, building a profitable business. I overcame very significant health issues, met an amazing husband, and really created deeper relationships with my parents, my family, and my friends. And so, you know, to really start moving forward with forgiveness and full abundance, you know, first and foremost, what I want you to remember is that our money past does not define us or where we're going. And so it is going to be essential to work on releasing judgment about your money past. So reminding yourself that your money past is just that. It's in the past, and that you were doing the best that you could at the time, based on what you knew and the support that was available to you. And this is also really good to remember about others, because we never really know how much others are struggling with their own money past and their own issues.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, also to move forward in abundance, it's really sitting in awareness and in the present to reflect back to your money past, and to understand the childhood messages and beliefs about money and how they were playing in your life. So one good way to do that, that I work with my clients on, is to, you know, you can journal that or simply reflect on it when you start feeling that, and just write down, what are some of those messages or feelings that I'm having around that? And that, you know, being in that awareness will really help you get in touch with those messages, which is peeling back the first layer, and that's going to help you get deeper. So, and also, you know, the same thing, when you find yourself in a money struggle, pause and sit with that uncomfortable feeling to understand what the connection is, or to, again, journal, you know, start writing down, what am I feeling? And, you know, sometimes what happens as well is that we can be triggered around other people's money stuff and in certain situations. So, so when we feel triggered, and it takes a great level of awareness, meaning that you want to be in the present moment to really take that in and ask yourself, where is that coming from? You know, stepping into your money power is going to be really important. And by releasing the negativity of your money past, that's going to help you step into your money power. You know, the anger, pain, fear, or the other emotions that you feel around your money past are really inevitable, but continuing to suffer is optional. So it is a choice, and it does take intentional practice. Again, being aware, you know, sitting with those feelings or those emotions or those triggers. And so it's it's practice daily, weekly, in your life. And as you do that, boy, can you sure get connected more quickly and more easily. And also, forgiveness is a choice. So don't wait for it to happen. You have to choose.
That's true. At least, you know, give some intention to it now. I honestly have had some, you know, different things in my life, Mary, and I had one piece of forgiveness that really took about 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took a long time. I wish it would have gone quicker, but yeah.
Well, you know, and that is the thing, that everybody has their own timeline for doing this work and forgiving and for moving forward. You know, so give yourself permission to work through the stuff and to take the time that you need to sit in awareness and to reflect on your money path and really understand the impact of your subconscious money beliefs and how they're playing out in your life, because what works for one person may not work for another person. And we all need to, you know, allow ourselves that self-compassion to know that if we're doing the work, we're going to get to some point of forgiveness. And also, sometimes it may not be possible to fully forgive, but again, to release the negativity around it. You know, and then finally, I just want to mention that forgiveness is for you. It creates self-compassion and empathy, which results in more inner peace and harmony. And, you know, when we're able to treat ourselves with that compassion and empathy, that's when we can really take the steps forward to forgiveness around ourselves and others who may have contributed to the negativity of our money past. And it, as I mentioned, it really softened my heart. So forgiveness does open your heart, and it really lights the way to receive that abundance.
You know, when you brought up that that idea around that we all have our own timelines for doing this work, I wanted to share just a little bit about my own timeline, which I intend will be helpful for all of you to hear about. The one thing, so I know that we have many business owners on the line with us, or you're an aspiring entrepreneur, and you're thinking about getting into that. And I, as a business owner, didn't really learn about money and my relationship with money until I was maybe, I would say, 4 or 5 years into my business. And the thing that was happening is that in the beginning, I had a lot of resources for marketing and business building show up in my life. And so I was always saying yes to those kinds of resources. And then through some of that, I started realizing that there were some undercurrents of emotion and habits, all in regard to my money and the way that I treated money. But I didn't, until that, I do think it was 4 or 5 years into my business, until then, there weren't any resources around me that I could see that were going to help me with that. Mm-hmm. And to help me specifically with the money and with my relationship and my interactions with money. And it was at that point in time, a few years into owning my company, that all of a sudden I started seeing the resources around me. I remember being at a point where I had an opportunity, I think it was to be involved in 3 different trainings that were all around money, like making money in your business. And I remember at that point, I was thinking, oh, can I afford all of these? Can I pay for all of these? Right? I was still in that point of, you know, kind of like juggling my finances. And I ended up saying yes to every single one of these opportunities. And the reason that I said yes and made the financial commitment to actually receive support around my money is that I knew it was finally time to heal all of these money wounds. When those resources started showing up in my life, I knew that it was time for me to go through that process. And it was a really fun, couple year-long process, really. And I still love learning about it. I love learning about money and talking about it and figuring it out for myself. And I love it. It's really fun. But it wasn't until I started seeing all those resources that I knew distinctly that it was time to have this healing occur in my finances. And when I said yes to those resources, that was when everything did change. So,
yeah, that's wonderful. And, you know, and that really speaks to, as we start peeling back the layers of our money stuff, as I call it, and we get more clear, we become more clear on that, that's when the opportunities and abundance show up. And we are in a place where we can better able see that and take advantage of it.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of resources, I know that you have a free resource that you're going to be sending to everyone who signed up for this call. Can you tell us a little bit more about that so everyone can excitedly expect that in their inbox?
Yes, Ava. Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you so much. Everyone who's on this call will receive my free gift, which is a guideline and sort of like a checklist on how to forgive your money past and some of the steps to take that will help you move towards that path towards abundance. And also, everyone who is on this call will receive my monthly newsletter, which is full of tips and resources for living a financially fit life and a financially fit business.
Awesome. I'm so excited to get the checklist because, you know, we've, like, on this call, I've only touched the surface. It's like, as I was saying, I've been working on my own money stuff for several years now. And it's just so nice. I'm so glad you're going to be sending everyone that resource. That's exciting.
Yes. Thank you. And just as a little closing remark, what I want you to know is that working on our money, it's sort of like a learning process. It's never never complete. And what I've learned in my business, as each time I get ready to take the next step and to grow my business, I come up against some money stuff. And it's at a different level, but I am then able to do a higher level of releasing and forgiving. So it happens to us as we are ready and we start growing and start stepping into the fear, in a way, and out of our comfort zone. And so for us to get beyond that, that's where that work comes in to really help us, rise up and meet that new challenge.
Uh-huh. And I would say also around some of my own money healing is that it was specifically those points where I exited my comfort zone when I started making more money in my business. So, you know, some of you have heard me speak about there was a year where I invested in training for my company at a higher investment than I had ever sent out. It was, you know, huge. And I had, like, an immediate shift in the caliber of clients who were coming to work with me and an immediate shift in my income level. And all of a sudden, like, my income got so much more comfortable with surplus. And, you know, not to say that there weren't stumbling blocks along the way because it was a whole journey, but it was a huge shift that really came when I stepped out of my comfort zone. And so I encourage all of you to continue doing that in various little ways with your money. Sometimes it's about leaving a bigger tip at a restaurant. Sometimes it is about investing in training that you know that you need. Sometimes it is finding a very, very, very creative way to pay for something that you and your intuition says that you should be part of. So I just want you to encourage to keep taking those steps outside of your comfort zone in your growth, especially around your income and your finances.
Yes. That's wonderful, Ava.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with our audience before we finish up for today?
I just really want to thank everyone, again, for being on the call and allowing me to really share not only my passion, but really what I consider a movement to help change people's lives. It's just really important to me, and I think if we all can work together to really step into our money power and our voice, we can make changes in this world that really are far-reaching even when we're gone.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you too, Mary, before we finish up, you know, there is an opportunity for people if they wanted to type in questions into the question box on the teleseminar. We had one question come in. Are you open to answering that, or would it be easier for you to answer that outside of this call for this person?
I am happy to answer it. Absolutely.
Okay, great. Okay, this is from Alejandra in Mexico City. I want to know when in the process the desire to feel comfortable with what you have changes to money is the only thing I care for. I'm not quite sure if I exactly understand the question, but maybe you do. She says, hi, I want to know when in the process the desire to feel comfortable with what you have changes to money is the only thing I care for.
I think it almost sounds like a couple questions there.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to focus on is when, because the first part of that was when is the process do you feel comfortable?
When in this whole process your desire to feel comfortable with what you have changes to money is the only thing I care for. I'm not sure if I quite understand it. And we can also, Alejandra, you know, if you're still listening right now, we can also provide some support to you outside of this call, too, in case we're missing the focus of your question just reading it right now.
And maybe she can send up a follow-up with a little more clarification.
Great. Yeah, that sounds good.
I'll go back to the process and how that really is for each person. That is, everybody has their own timeline. But what I know is if we really are intentional and we're in the present and we're aware, we can easier get in touch with our money stuff, with our money past, and begin moving forward in that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a skill. The more you practice it, so to speak, the better you get at it.
Yeah, and I also wanted to, in regard to this question, if I'm understanding it correctly, the one thing, I think that there is kind of this idea that on the path to making more money, that sometimes I think there's almost this fear that when we start making more money, that money turns into it's like the only thing that we love or the only thing that we desire. And I see that sometimes, and I know, I mean, I had a little bit of that fear too, that like what would happen if I started making more money? Would I turn into a rich bitch? That was honestly my biggest fear, is that people would perceive me as a nasty woman with a lot of money. And so, you know, from that, I think that, you know, sometimes when we start to make more money, we have fears come up like that, oh, I'm going to make more money, and then that's the only thing I'm going to love. And I actually think that when we get to that point of making money, and this point is different for everyone, but I found that there's this point where we have enough money. And even like a surplus of money, where we're to this point where we no longer have to check our bank account every time we want to make a little purchase, where we can buy the beautiful thing in the store that we see that catches our eye. I feel like we can get to that point. And when we get to that point, honestly, what I've experienced in having gotten to that point is that now I don't even have to worry about money as much anymore. And I mean, I'm still very aware of it, and I keep track of it, but I don't have to worry about it as much anymore. And I think that has actually, I hope turned me into a better person. Like now I can gift things to my family. Now I can give people little surprises. I can treat people to coffee or to meals out, when in the past I couldn't do that at all. And so I think I just, you know, want to share with all of you that as you start making more and more money, depending on your personality, you might get sucked into it or you might not. And what I have seen mostly is that we as women, we don't get so sucked in that money becomes the only thing that we love and care about. We really start using it as a tool to help the people around us. So, Alejandra, yes. I hope that answers your question a little bit as well.
And I would like to add just two pieces.
Yes,
absolutely, Ava. And one thing that I heard was the word fear. So the word fear, again, is an emotion around money. So I would encourage her to look at, become aware of, sit with where that fear is coming from. Again, maybe looking back to her childhood or past experiences. But also, money just really accentuates who we are. And as you mentioned, that it just helps us, especially for women, I think we really want, we're the helpers and the nurturers, it helps us to do more of the things that we care about and love, so that we, you know, I think we want to make the world a better place for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and this is great. And Alejandra did send us a little follow-up message as well. We are just about at the top of the hour. So, Alejandra, what I'm going to go ahead and do is I will send I'll send your question to Mary, and I'll have Mary get in touch with you just outside of the call, so you can get your questions answered.
Great.
Okay. I have so loved this, Mary. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here. It's just such an honor, and I'm so glad we met at the farmer's market, and thank you for sharing all of this with everyone. It's just been a wonderful journey.
Oh, thank you, Ava, and this was fun, and I hope we can do it again. You have a great day, everyone, to have a fully abundant day.
Sounds good. Great. And again, Mary is at financiallyfitliving.com, and I am at avawaits.com, and we hope that you'll all connect to us through social media, and also, you know, please come to our websites, take a look around. We have lots of resources waiting for you at our websites.
Great.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Ava.
Thanks, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy your day. Bye.
I will. You too.
The moderator has left the conference.